Hello, everybody, and welcome to Elephants in Our Rooms. I'm your host, Jenna Carolesson, with my co-host, Deborah DeFranco. She's coming in the door, and she'll be calling in just a few minutes here. Today, Deborah and Janet, we're going to talk about politics. What else? The current state of our union, our dear, sacred, beloved planet, what's happening with her, what's been going on in the world, and what can we do about it? And right now, life is certainly a wild ride, like a roller coaster, and we're firmly rooted in the journey. So we're going to talk about the 2020 elections, Trump, Biden, politics, COVID, vaccines versus no vaccines, masks versus masks, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm stalling for time, obviously, because I'm going to go over these with Deborah. And I'll just give you a quick rundown of some of our titles. We're going to talk about It's a Miracle, Helsinki's Radical Solution to Homelessness. There's a video on the page on, we have a new website, elephantsinourrooms.com. And we're going to see Bernie Sanders' reaction to Trump. Going to come back in 2024. Oh, God, we don't even get rid of him yet, so he's going to try to come back. Please don't vote for him, please. Let's move on. Let's get some new blood in here. Let's get some new energy. Then there's a new report on how did COVID really spread around the world. We're going to talk about that. And Trump won't concede because it's so profitable to keep the con going. And, in his own, Trump's judiciary, which was shaped by Trump, is thwarting his election challenges, so that's exciting. Let's see. And then another COVID report, coronavirus was in the U.S. weeks before it was officially identified in China. So that theory is going down the tubes. And there's a report, incredible new drug might work even better than a coronavirus vaccine. We're going to have a show down the line. I'm going to get Russell Brinninger. He's been doing some research on vaccines. And, you know, it's coming down the line here. We might get the mandatory vaccines. We won't be able to fly unless you have a vaccine. And it seems like this coronavirus is far worse than we ever managed. Let me check and see if she has called in yet. Nope, not yet. Let's keep talking. Okay. What's worse for coronavirus protection, bandanas and scarves? That seems like an old one. I guess they're doing the ongoing research on what will protect you more. Oh, I don't know. I stay home a lot. Of course, here's our hungry people. We're starving around the world. There was a 2-mile line in Arizona, a 4-hour wait in Ohio. Millions of Americans are seeking help to avoid going hungry. Well, it's this Thanksgiving. We didn't do a show the last couple of weeks because of the holidays. Sometimes I just get so overwhelmed I can't even talk about politics. So here we are. How to prevent your company from being used for evil for a founder who's been there. I didn't get a chance to read these. Some of these are coming from Deborah. Let's see if she's here. Oh, she's here. Hold on 1 second while I turn on her mic and welcome her. Aloha, Deborah DeFranco. So glad you made it.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay,
coming
good.
In loud
yes.
and clear. So you're out and about. You're in Texas, huh?
Yeah. We just drove from Houston to Dallas, and we literally just got back when you called me.
Wow. Yeah, I could have made it later. I get so confused on what time, because I'm used to you being in the East Coast, and now you're somewhere in the mountain or something. Mountain time.
I'm in Central Time.
Central.
Central
Mountain
Time.
Clinic, whatever. So I was just telling our listeners all these incredible topics that we have.
Yeah.
You've been sending me articles. So where do you want
to
start?
Trying to do,
Go ahead.
Trying to get away from the political stuff and starting to focus on more positive stuff. I don't know if you saw that theme in the things I was sending you. Like, I love that article about the homeless, how Finland is tackling their homeless problem.
Yeah, and I'm working on getting up a site called Planetary Solutions. So when I get that going, yeah, I'll definitely put that article in there. So since I didn't have a chance to read it, and you did, tell us, what are they doing?
Yeah.
I'm going to click on it while you're talking.
So what they're doing now is the government has a lot of housing at their disposal, right? And they've taken these buildings and they've created like 1 and 2 bedroom, I want to call them half apartments because they're not full-blown apartments. What they've done is created community areas within a building that'll have like a kitchen, an entertainment area, possibly a gym or whatever. And what they've done is the rest of what would be in a normal home is in an apartment somewhere in the building. And when people become homeless, the first thing they do is immediately give them housing unconditionally. So they get them into one of these buildings. Right. And then, but they have to pay rent. But what they do is help them engage all the government services that they're entitled to. And in Finland, they can, you know, if they're homeless and, you know, they're not working, there are government services and income that's available to them. And so they give them help. I don't know if it's called a social worker in Finland, but they get representatives that help them walk through the government processes so they can apply for all their benefits. And it's actually bringing the homeless percentages down. You know, because when someone becomes homeless, their whole focus becomes finding a place to sleep and finding some way to eat, right? And everything else gets pushed aside. The best way to serve the homeless is to stabilize their housing. And often a lot of people who are homeless have mental health issues, right? So the first thing you do is stabilize their housing, and then you help them navigate all their other issues, and it's helping people get back on their feet.
I've heard about similar programs, but it's not real popular here in the United States. But Utah for a while was giving the homeless a home, and that got them back on their feet. And another problem is they're not clean enough to go do job interviews, right? So how do you keep clean? How do you keep your clothes washed? So you're homeless, you're starving, you don't have a place to eat, you don't have money. You're on the street, you know, you don't even have a place to, you don't even have a pot to piss in, you know? And I was like, how are you supposed to pull yourself up when you've actually hit rock bottom? And so the goal is to eliminate the rock bottom. And if you give people who are homeless resources, money, a roof over their head, they're going to meet their basic needs first because they can't live without food. And, yeah,
absolutely.
So they help them get these, like here in my part of the world, they have HUD. I think they have HUD. So people, I have some kind of rooms to rent that are similar thing. Hawaii is kind of like that. You have group areas. I used to have a group kitchen, but now it's like a different configuration. But people can get a voucher for HUD housing. And so we have it, but the United States is not set up as good as they could be. And we have lots of empty buildings that we could be creating the same thing. We've got empty warehouses and malls.
Absolutely. You know, remember how we talked about my premonitions on the other show? One of the premonitions I had 2 years ago was that the malls got turned into shared housing.
And they'd be lovely.
And, yeah, can you imagine it? You'd have all this open space. You can divide it up. You can have community areas. And then you could have separate areas. And that it allows people to have a place to live. And, you know, the other part of being homeless is you become isolated from society, right?
Right.
And you put them in something with shared housing they start making reconnections with society and other people. Because when you become homeless, it just becomes a downward spiral that most people don't get out of.
Well, think about the mall situation. A lot of them have restaurants already, so there's cooking facilities. They can still have the restaurants open or create the situation where you can go in, perhaps cook for yourself.
A kitchen, right, that actually feeds them.
A kitchen. Yeah.
You could set up a kitchen, like a food bank kitchen or a homeless shelter kitchen. And it could be a kitchen where you actually feed them. They have bathrooms already, right?
Right.
They even
really
have
showers in malls.
But
yeah,
you could put that in easily. You could actually put that in very easily because it's got all the plumbing for it.
Well, I actually was studying communities for a long time, and I went to summer camp at the Network New Culture. And at that event, which was 3 weeks long, we taught some workshops that we stayed on campus, so to speak. And they had a group kitchen facility, and they had a big sign-up sheet. So you would go to the sign-up sheet, and you had to rotate. So one day you were in prep, another day cooking, another day cleanup, another day, you know, there were different jobs for each day, and you were involved in these tasks. So it was 3 meals a day, so it was a pretty busy thing. And then when you cleaned up, after you dunked your meal, you had to, you know, scrape your dishes, you put your plates in one pan, your glasses in another pan, your, you know, silverware in another one. So you made it easy for cleanup, so they didn't have to go sorting all that stuff, and your recyclables in one container and your trash in another container. So it was very efficient, and I was greatly impressed by that. But now we're in COVID. That was pre-COVID, and now we're in COVID, and we're going to go into post-COVID. Remember all those apocalyptic movies we watched over the last 20 years? Well, they came true.
You know, it's
funny
you say that, because my daughter and my son-in-law have been talking about the vaccine, right? And every time someone talks about this vaccine, all I can think about is that movie, I Am Legend, right? Where they vaccinated people because they had the cure for cancer, right? And then they became those creatures that preyed on humans. And that's all that runs through my mind every time I think of that vaccine.
Now you know why they had all these zombie films. Are we going to become zombies? Well, yeah, that's very, very interesting. You know, we have Russell Brinaker. He did a little research on the vaccinations, but now we're having. So are they going to get the vaccination or not?
What, you mean people? Are we going to get it in general?
Who you were talking to. Your son-in-law.
My daughter and my son-in-law and I are all on the same page. We're going to let other people be the guinea pig because they don't know what the long-term effects of this vaccination are. So that's the reason the drug approval process takes so long. It takes years because they need to understand what the long-term effects are. No one knows what the long-term effects of these vaccinations are going to be. And they obviously rushed the process to get it out in less than 9 months. So I will continue to isolate, which I haven't had a problem with. I know a lot of people do. I wouldn't have a problem with it if I lived where you lived either.
Well, you still have to go down to get the groceries, and even if you order stuff, you got to go pick it up. But it's really, you know, not that bad, and we're managing. You know, my husband is probably in better health than he's been his entire life, and he's 80 years old, so he's really, you know, paying attention to his health. And we're not, you know, since Valley kind of locked down earlier, and we could control. Because we have an ocean between us and even the other islands. It's pretty normal around here. Everybody wears masks. If you don't wear a mask, you get like a $100 fine or could be more. I don't know. They made they did this early on, like, you know, coming up on a year ago. And so, you know, we kind of have it somewhat normal. And now they have testing before you can get on plane. You're supposed to quarantine. They track people if they're not quarantining. They find them and
did
they
you hear about
them
that?
On the next plane out.
Did you hear about that couple from San Francisco?
They flew even
so
though
there
they had tested positive?
They had. Yeah, they were actually Hawaii residents. They tested them and their child tested positive at the San Francisco airport. They were told not to get on the plane and to go quarantine for the next 14 days. They ignored it, and they turned around and caught their flight, and they were arrested when they landed at the other end. And they didn't tell anybody they had COVID, so they exposed everybody on that plane to the virus.
Now, I heard they're all supposed to wear masks on the plane. But, of course, it's a 5-hour flight. And it's impossible on a 5-hour flight to not, I mean, you've got to drink or you're going to dehydrate or get sick. Anyway, so
absolutely.
Thank you, assholes, for going on and intentionally. You know, I'll make a prediction. Here's two things that people aren't aware of. First of all, the government, yeah, so they have these secret space programs and stuff, and technology is way in advance what we have. They already have a, I don't know what it is. It's something they put into their injections so they can see that their soldiers have their proper injection just by, like, it glows in their skin. It shows you if you've had, you know, let's say the COVID vaccine will glow red. And you can get another shot which glows yellow, and another one that shows green. And you can, just by shining the light on their soldiers, they can tell if they got the proper vaccination for their destination to protect them from diseases. The other thing is they've already figured out a way, because once the vaccine, the virus goes into your body, it picks up your DNA. So your virus has a specific signature. And if you're like that person, those people that purposely went on the plane and spread it to a lot of people on the plane, and they get it, they'll be able to detect this virus, this particular virus came from, you know, Bob and Billy Joe over there. And they're going to make it criminal. So they're going to be, it'll probably start as involuntary manslaughter, but it could go to a full-on crime of some kind of murder. This is the brave new world, the Orwellian society. iRobot by Heinlein said, described a future where we didn't interact with each other. And when I read that back in, what was that? Early 60s, 62, 63, 64, I was a child. I said, how could we have a world where nobody interacts with each other? Well, we have arrived. Science fiction
absolutely.
Is a fact. So this homeless solution would only work if they were in a, it's kind of like in polyamory, you have a closed sexual circle and you can take off the condoms when you all test okay, right? So this will be a closed shared breast society. And if you test okay, you can take off your mask and sit and have dinner with each other without having a mask. That's probably where it's going to. Now, there's a couple articles, I don't know if you found them or I found them, but it says, how did COVID really spread around the world? Was that from you? Or was that
for yes. What
did you read that?
Now is, yes, what they found is they're finding traces of this virus in other countries. They found traces of this virus in Spain in September of 2019. I know people personally that got sick with this virus in November of 2019 that lived in Northern California. So they believe this virus quite possibly had been spreading all over the world for the last half of 2019. The Chinese may have just been the first ones to detect it because the population density of the country, right?
Right.
You have to, they're one of the most crowded countries in the world. And for anybody that hasn't been to China, a 5 million person town is considered a small town. 5
right.
million people in this country is considered a big city. So that
right.
is the difference in population density. And when you have that many people, any type of spreading is immediately going to be spread exponentially.
Right.
And the cleanliness standards in China is very different than the cleanliness standards here in the U.S. So, you know, China was at one time a third world country. And what is it considered first world or is it second world at this stage in the game? I'm not sure, right?
I'm not sure.
And so,
no, I haven't been tracking it.
Right. So, you know, when you're in second and third world countries, the cleanliness standard is very different. And it's not a matter of they choose that, you know, it's a matter of circumstances. And when you're all packed together about, you know, like that, it's not possible to keep things clean the way you can in the U.S. You know, when foreigners come over here, they always talk about how clean this country is. And I personally feel like Canada is a lot cleaner than the U.S.
Right.
But, you know, our standards here are different. But we also have a country that's relatively new. You know, China has a history that's over 10,000 years old, as well as Europe does. So, you know, the way the country physically appears is going to be different than a country that's relatively new. I mean, up until, what, 400 or 500 years ago, this was a primitive country where people lived outdoors.
Right, yeah. So
right?
Let's go back to the article. Okay, finish up with
right.
your thread. Because, okay,
so what they're saying now is they're not sure where this has started, right? So they've
right.
got evidence of people who are in Spain that got sick, and they had COVID antibodies in their blood in September 2019. But that doesn't say anything, right? It just says people were in Spain in 2019 that had the antibodies. But you don't know where they got the antibodies, right? Did it
right,
happen there?
Right.
Or were they traveling in China? Who knows? It's just the worst
right.
of the outbreak was detected in China. But I still suspect that this thing came from the bio labs in China in Wuhan. What I suspect might have happened is that at some point as this virus was spreading in the last half of the year, that it jumped from human to animal and back from animal to human, and the virus mutated. Because
well,
there aren't a lot of people. Huh?
I have another piece of this puzzle.
Okay.
I think it went back to 2018. Because when
oh, that's
I
right.
got off,
you did say that.
Every year, I would go to Northern California, to the Santa Clara Bay Area, to a conference. That group of people, the last several years, had been sick. I mean, seriously sick with something, right? Coughing,
right.
sneezing. It was more than the flu because when I went to, let's see, I went to California and on over to Vegas. And so I was on all these planes with all these people that are getting in on and off planes between Honolulu and California because you're getting connecting flights and sitting in the airports and everybody's running around with their diseases. Now, the Chinese and the Koreans and the Japanese for years have been wearing masks on a plane. And I go, and they
yes.
get off in Honolulu. And I go, what is going on that all these people wear masks? But I would get off from my five-hour flight from Maui, but sometimes I had a connecting in Oahu, sick almost every single year. So this virus, I think, has been going around for a long time, and it's been mutating and getting smarter and getting smarter. So in 2018, by the time I got off the plane and I went to my conference, because I come over and work these conferences, it was the big conference we had in Arizona. In the previous 2 years, we'd all be in the vendor room and people would get sick. 1 year, the speakers were getting sick. It's like they come in perfectly healthy, and after a day, they're sick. They can't get up on stage and speak. You know, they've had a last-minute replacement. Who feels good enough to speak? So in 2018, one of our colleagues on Saturday night, so we start on Wednesday with presenters. By Saturday night, this guy said, "I don't feel good. I'm going up to bed," and he died. And then there was a story that like three or four people had died. But I heard stories like there were some people who had come up from Australia to present, and they went home and they were sick. They were sick for like 6 months later. So then I came home and I was sick for like 4 or 5 months, not feeling well, but I just kept like sleeping a lot. And I go, what is wrong? So they're learning about the long haulers, right? So
right.
Then I do a conference in the fall of 2018. And 2019, on my birthday, February 6th, 2019, I got so sick. I basically had to wear a diaper for almost the rest of 2019. I thought, I am never going to be normal again. But somewhere in there, I got a bunch of stuff, and so I got. But then when people started getting sick again, remember every year we have a quote unquote flu season. And when they came out with the news in China, I said, nope, those people had the virus. Those people have this COVID, and it's been going around for a long time. So I was so confident and convinced that COVID had been in the United States a lot longer. I called my friends. I decided I'm not going to the 2020 conference in February, which I normally did. And I called my friends and I said, really be careful. There's something going on. And lo and behold, the person that was putting on the conference had been in and out of the hospital. She was the only one that could manage the conference. So she came out of the hospital to do her conference, and she probably had COVID. So when they backtracked in the United States, they said the first COVID death recorded in the United States was in Santa Clara, and it was in February of 2020, and that's when that conference was going on, and I called them. I said, be careful. That virus is right there. So there's a conference going on which has, you know, 300-400 people, and then people come in and out, and they're in the hotel, and they're all interacting. So, and that was on part of Santa Clara where the whole street was hotels and they all had conferences going because that's like their peak season. So this stuff has been going around. But what does that mean? You know, it's like I was reading this article and they have September 3rd of 2019. That was in Italy. Italy. Then December, January. So here's September. It already started in Italy. So that wouldn't be the Wuhan virus. That was, you know, September, October, November, December, 4 months before Wuhan.
But it still could have been. You were in California, which is a major transit point from Asia. Right?
So we don't get a lot of Italians. So where do the Italians tend to vacation? How do
okay,
they get
so
it in
they,
September?
In the Northeast. The version of the virus that ended up in New York came from Europe.
Right.
So the version that Italy ended up with was a mutated version of what was found in Wuhan. It wasn't the same version of the virus. And the European mutation made it more contagious. It didn't make
so
it more severe.
The two viruses met each other, or
no?
So
I think
two separate varieties of this. COVID?
Say yes, two separate varieties of the same virus.
So then
you
it
have
has
to
a common origin. We have to go back probably since it showed up in September. It's really like 2 months before. So August July.
Italy has a what people don't understand is Italy has a very big Chinese population. Most of the factories that produce consumer goods in Italy now are actually owned by the Chinese, or the workers are Chinese. So there is a very large Chinese contingent in Italy that go back and forth between China and Italy.
What about the virus being transported by items? Because now a lot of our products come from China. Has anybody...
90% of the products in this country come from China.
So is
and they
it
have
possible
found
that the products are spread around the
could
world?
Could be. They don't know enough about it. They don't know enough about it to say definitively yes or no. It's the possibility is there.
Right.
And the version of the virus that came to the West Coast came from Wuhan. The version of the virus that came to the Northeast came from Italy.
Wow. So the virus can be detected anywhere. That virus, whether alive or dead, are present. They may remain in water for days or even weeks after being transmitted out of the body through a cough or a sneeze or in feces. And they find traces of the virus in sewage water. And that's how they're detecting that this virus was. So if we were to go back, there might be some water that gets collected from different sewage plants around the world, and they might have them marked, and so they could say, June, July, August, September, October of 2019, if they examined that, they might even go back further and find when
all
this
started. All these container ships discharge their water in the oceans.
Right.
And most of the container ships come from China.
We get these giant barges, goods and services. What do you think it goes into our Costco and Walmart? Chinese stuff. So I'm not blaming
Walmart,
the Chinese, but it's like
no.
But it
looks very suspicious. It looks suspicious, right? And then they tried to hide it from the world, which makes it look even more suspicious.
Of course, they don't want to lose their clients.
And they've destroyed all the evidence about this virus. So all the evidence that was there that the doctors was collecting, they've taken it and destroyed it. So nobody can investigate where this virus started. But that article talks about how the virus moved all around the world. And they believe that the virus was moving around the world much earlier than people thought.
Right. And so... what that just means is we're never going to really know when something else happens.
Nope.
So
we'll
the
never
rest
know
of existence is going to be about when will the next one hit. And I remember in the last 20 years, I always kept saying, we're ripe for a pandemic. We just don't know when and where and how, but it's going to happen. Yet people are like, in denial. I mean, some of the things I hear about people, their rationale, like somebody, I won't name names, but someone told me that their son goes to these little, they play war games type things, so virtual games, right, in the different homes. And they don't believe in masks, so they think it's okay because they know these people and they're meeting in different homes. But each and every person in that group goes to the store, does things not wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
But they think, oh, we don't have to wear a mask. It's our friends. We know these people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you know them
doesn't
mean that they don't have it. Yeah.
Absolutely. My family, my family gets together for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we live in all different places. And I would not go around my family because a lot of them are exposed to the public. And my brother's like, are you going to Thanksgiving? I said, no. I said, I'm not going around anybody. I said, I don't trust anybody. And I have a comorbidity. I am a type 2 diabetic. And so I cannot take any chances whatsoever. And he goes, you know what? You're really smart not to trust anybody. I don't even trust my own family members. I just went and saw my mother for the first time in 6 months. I wouldn't let her hug me. And I told her, I said, it's not nothing personal. Don't get your feelings hurt. I just don't want to touch anybody. I make everybody keep their distance from me. My brother has a roommate who works with the public. And we were all sharing a bathroom. And I told my brother, I'm like, I don't want to go in the bathroom behind him. I disinfect that bathroom every day. He said, wow. You know, start taking a shower in my bathroom. You know, because people, if I were somebody that worked in the public, I would make sure I disinfected myself as much as I could till I got home. And if I lived in the house with other people, I would immediately jump in the shower and then clean the bathroom. But people aren't taking it that seriously. And it's a lot of work to do something like that. But you have to be considerate of the other people around you. And I'm about to take care of my brother who's about to go through cancer treatment. So I can't afford to get sick. You know, right. Just for what I need to do for him, let alone how it could possibly affect me. I mean, other than the diabetes, I am extraordinarily healthy, and I control my diabetes through diet. But the fact right. That I have the diabetes, I'm like number two on the list of, you know, comorbidities of people right. That die from this.
Right. Wow. Well, you're braver than I am, Dr. Dan. I wouldn't have gone.
So I have to tell you something funny that happened. So, you know, I drove
yes. From
upstate New York to Texas to come here and take care of my brother, right? So my
uh-huh. Car
became this self-enclosed capsule. I got out of that car to get gas only. I even went to the bathroom in my car. That's how paranoid I was.
Wow.
I brought cups with me so I didn't have to go into those public restrooms because I know someone who got the virus from going into a public restroom. He'd been really careful and he was driving between towns and he stopped in a public restroom. And by the time he got home, he was sick. And he goes, I know that's where I got it because that's the only place I left my guard down and I was exposed to the public. So I drove for 2 days and I brought my food. I brought my drinks. I didn't have to get out of the car other than to stop for gas. And when I got out of the car, I had a mask on and I had gloves on. I still had a disinfectant kit in my car, but I was not taking any frickin' chances. And I've now been here over a week and obviously I'm not sick, thank God. So what I did must have worked because I came across a lot of people going across the country who were not taking this seriously. They were not social distancing and they were not wearing masks.
Right. So where you're living now, you're in a group home now? You have more than one party?
It's my brother, his two children, and a roommate. But it's a four bedroom house, so it's big enough that we can social distance if we have to. Edward makes a point of socially distancing. He's the roommate, and he's the one that works
uh-huh.
with the public. So he doesn't come close to any of us, and he does respect that. But, you know, he is using things in the house, and this virus isn't just passed in the air. You know, this virus
right. Is
passed with touching surfaces or exchanging body fluids, you know, like those people in Hawaii that got on the plane. Yeah, they might have been wearing a mask, but they touched the surface of that plane. You know, they
right. Touched
the seats, they touched
the
handles.
They went to the bathroom.
Yes, 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 yes.
Definitely on a 5-hour flight, you're going to go. Right. Oh, my God.
So I know
my
trip was a little OCD, but I didn't get sick. And it was a way for me to travel safely because I could have flew on a plane, but I was terrified of doing that. And I'm like you. I often get sick when I'm on planes. But, you know, I wasn't taking any chances, so I drove. And I felt like it would be a whole lot safer, and I feel like it was.
Well, I'm glad you're safe, and I hope you stay safe. And I don't know what to do. So we're going back to the So they're going to start testing the virus on all these people that are going to be the guinea pigs. So this will be the first
mm-hmm. Level.
They'll offer it to the workers in the stores and the first responders, the fire, the police, the healthcare workers, the staff in hospitals, all those people are going to get it offered first, and the nursing homes and the elderly there. And then they'll go down the line. They think they would offer it to the elderly that isn't in the homes, but I wanted the guinea pigs to go first. Is that horrible or what? I'm saying, we'll see how it works on the rest. That I want the guinea pigs to go first. I want to see how it responds in the... Now, there's some people who lined up. They're very altruistic and was like, I'm going to volunteer. So, that you know, they had like 40,000 people or something that volunteered to do this for trial.
Okay, so President Bush, uh-huh. Clinton, and President Obama all volunteered to get their vaccines publicly to show the public it's safe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
And when are they doing that?
Afternoon.
Which version? Which variation of the thing are they going to
do? I'm not sure which one they're going to take, but they said they're going to do it together, and they're going to do it publicly so people can see to not be afraid.
Okay, that might help. I mean, I don't really know. I was talking to somebody, I won't name names, and, you know, we got right into it. That's the big thing that everybody gets into. And I said, well, you know, I ended up as a little girl getting these vaccines when we went to school, remember, kindergarten. What did mommy do? You got to go to the doctor and get your vaccination. And mm-hmm. I also got the polio one, which was a sugar cube. And I remember standing in line to get the sugar cube. Now, I'm still here. I'm 66. It didn't kill me. Did it create illness in my body?
But those vaccinations were tested for a very long time before they were released to the public.
Right. So, I don't have
this,
an answer.
This
I
went
mean,
from concept to finished product in 9 months.
No. Well,
would you
the one vaccine has been, they've been researching it for 30 years. So they were starting on another course, and they just found that it worked, and they... That was one of the, I guess it's the German one. Might be the Pfizer.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Oh, I
one
think that is the one. I know which one you're talking about, but that one is only 70% effective.
Okay.
The other ones are anywhere from 90 to 97% effective. So that's the problem. It's an older vaccine, mm-hmm. and it's more trusted and been tested. But its efficacy rate is much lower than the other vaccines that they've developed.
So I'm going to put a question to Mr. Computer. When did vaccines begin? When did we have our first vaccine? Was it the, yes, was it the 1800s or 1900s? Vaccine history. Okay. Edward Jenner created the smallpox vaccine in 1796. Wow. So they had 1914 a vaccine against pertussis. I don't know what pertussis is. I guess it was good. There's no pertussis. Diphtheria, 1926. Tetanus, 1938. And
pertussis is croup. It's that really bad cough that you get.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they combined those three in 1948, and they called it the DTP. That makes sense. DTP vaccine. And so by the 1940s, they recommended people got smallpox, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, even in combination with DTP. So that got smallpox. And let's see, then in the 50s, actually, I think it was in 54, right somewhere, the polio vaccine. And Jonas Salk became an overnight hero. Oh, and then they combined those in 1915. Oh, no. No, I'm reading. Smallpox is still separate. Polio. So the DPT and smallpox and polio. So perhaps when we were going to school, what's in our school vaccine? Now, anyway, they have a vaccine against mumps in 67, 63 measles, mumps, rubella in 69, and they combined those for the MMR vaccine in 1971. And, okay, so this is a pretty interesting article. I think I'm going to conclude that. In the 80s, they developed hepatitis B and haemophilus influenza type B. So that's the flu vaccine. Came in the 80s. They had measles, mumps. Chicken pox is a new one. Rotavirus, hepatitis, and pneumococcal vaccines are now new. So there's not a lot of vaccines in the system, but they do have, I'd say, about a dozen or so, maybe 10 to 20 vaccines for different things. Do you have any of those vaccines? Are you there? Okay.
Can you hear?
Did you go off and back on?
My alarm. My alarm went off, and instead of turning the alarm off, I hung up on you. I've actually had. I never got the chickenpox vaccine because I got chickenpox. I have had most of the others. I have not gotten the shingles vaccine. They want you to wait until you're 60 to get that one. But I've had the pertussis vaccine, the DPT, MMR, smallpox,
right.
Polio. Yeah, I've gotten all those. But again, I got them when I was a kid, and I'm 58 now, right? And you're supposed to get boosters
right.
over the years, and I've never gotten the boosters. So I have no idea if those vaccines are still effective. But I have traveled all around the world the last 30 years, and I have never gotten sick.
So they said you're supposed to get your tetanus booster every 10 years. So I know I got tetanus somewhere.
Yep. Yeah, and I've gotten the tetanus.
So, you know, I don't know. It might be totally harmless getting a vaccine, but I think I'm opting to delay it until it goes the guinea pig route and it starts having positive feedback.
Well, let me just put this out there. My brother was an Army chopper pilot in Desert Storm. And before they went to Desert Storm, they made these guys take a bunch of experimental vaccines, right? Because they were afraid of chemical warfare. And a lot of these guys got sick from those vaccines and got diseases and died. And they have been fighting the U.S. government for decades to admit that it was connected to these vaccines. And those were experimental vaccines. They weren't done with the testing. So that is the one thing. That's my most personal experience that makes me very hesitant to get this vaccine.
So let me ask you, how did they know they were getting untested experimental vaccines?
They were told.
Did they tell them?
Yeah, they were told.
So when I went to Johnson A. Call, I had to get shots. And back then I was so naive. It's like, whatever. Give me my shots. I thought everything was safe and good because I bought, you know, the party line. But so I really don't know what vaccines I've had. But since 97, I have not received any additional vaccines. I just kind of said, nah, I don't want to do that. So anyway, but a lot of people in Desert Storm, in addition to whatever they were doing, they got exposed to things. When I was on Johnson A, so I had a lot of Desert Storm vets, and they were developing, like this one guy, he his liver gave out because he got exposed to the, there were so many toxins being shot at them, you know. And they had those depleted uranium, right?
Yes.
They're using toxic weapons, you know, what were they, bullets or shells? And they're depleted uranium, and they're exposing our vets to that, and so they were going home. They were going home to die. There was a couple of days. They said, nope, I'm terminal, going home to see my wife and kids before I die. So that was one of my friends. It was so sweet. I didn't have sex with him. He was just a friend. But, oh, God. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not the doctor. I'm not. I'll see what I feel like when I get there, you know. And then the other thing is, if it develops, if you get the virus, are these things effective once you have it? So maybe you don't have to get it advanced. You just wait till you're down in the emergency room, and they go, here, we'll give you the shot. That's the other piece,
well,
which we don't have.
The problem with this vaccine, it's not like other vaccines where there's little to no side effects. This vaccine, you actually get a mild case of COVID, and you have to get two shots, not one. And they're concerned that people will be so put off by the side effects after the first shot, they won't come back for the second. And if they don't come back for the second, the vaccine won't be effective at all.
But that's only one of the vaccines. There's three or four, maybe even five vaccines.
They're all the same at this stage in the game. There's multiple shots.
So they're all multiple shots right now.
Yeah,
there's no single shot vaccine.
Because this vaccine uses a technology that uses you, not just your DNA, but your RNA, right? And the other vaccines we've gotten in the past are not the same technology. It's a different technology. So you don't react the same as other vaccines you've gotten in the past.
All right. Well, the jury's out. We'll see. I'm sure there are some people that are going to get it regardless. And they hopefully they're going to report and document. You know, it's like we have a very vocal society now because we all can just pick up a camera and make a YouTube. We all can just tweet. It's not like it was, and, you know, you had to write an article and a publisher and had to approve it, right? It's like now, it's like, nope, you don't like something. And then, of course, once you publish something, there's all this information and disinformation around it. That's why I said earlier to my person I was talking on the phone, I said, I don't believe any of these conspiracy theories anymore. You know, you have people saying that the earth is flat, and there's just so much around everything. I'm just believing. I'm just trusting me and my own guidance. I'm still here. Hopefully I can remain here. None of us know. It's like we're really at the end of this game. Because apparently some people get it and they're dead in 2 days, right? It's like, they go,
yeah.
Oh, shit, I thought it was a lie. Or, you know, like I said, we have a media society, and they'll post it on their TikTok or their, you know, whatever, their YouTube, and they'll say, I didn't believe it. Now I'm dying. And goodbye, kids. Goodbye, wife. Sorry. I'm dead.
And most of these people who get it from a loved one.
Yeah.
You know, how many stories have you heard about families getting together, thinking they've done all the right things and they've quarantined, and they get together and they spread it to everybody that attended the event. So you don't know what someone else has done. You don't know what they've been exposed to. You don't know who the people they've come into contact have been exposed to. So operate on the assumption that everyone that you come near could be infected.
Yeah, I agreed to have a guest. It was about 2 months ago now. And I said, you got to go in quarantine. So here she's on my property, and she's running around to everybody, all my tenants, guests, and the workers that come up. She's just not wearing a mask and just talking right in her face. And you know, she had just been on a plane. And she said, oh, I don't have to wear a mask. I'm in Maui now. We don't have to wear a mask. That was her logic. Okay. No, you were just on a plane with all those people in an airport. Oh, crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay.
Well, what they're saying now is if you go and visit your family on Thanksgiving or Christmas, you should get tested twice immediately afterwards. But they're telling you not to do that, right? Oh, guess
don't
what?
Go.
There's a headline that just wait. There's a headline that just came out on CNN. Biden will ask the nation to wear masks for his first 100 days.
Cool. I have to watch that when we get done here. Did you see the video where the doctor? Somebody's calling me now, please. Where the doctor made a video and he said, "This is the last thing you see before you die." So he had him all dressed up like a space suit, and he's zooming in with the intubator. He said,
"Yeah,
do you want this image to be the last thing you see?" And then they asked him, "What made you make that video?" He said, "Oh, something like, I might be warping this, so forgive me. I don't have a recorder going on my brain, and my brain filters things." But I think he said something like, "I guess, had the 100th person die, some milestone." He said, "I got done, you know." They turn off the machine, right? They get no brain waves because they're dead. They're basically dead. They're on life support, and then they go in and they go, okay, shall we do it? Sometimes they can FaceTime their relatives so they get to look at the person's face before they turn off the machine. Sometimes they don't, they just die. Anyway, so he just turned off the machine for the X person, and he said, "I just had to go make this." Because he said, "I don't get it why these people just aren't wearing masks, you know, and they just aren't doing it." So, but they don't believe in him. So I talked to somebody, a family member, and she said, "Nope, I don't believe it. I'm still seeing all my friends." She's mad. She's in California. She's mad at Newsom. He's shutting down our restaurants. And he wants to leave. So I'm not going to restaurants. You know, I used to cook big turkey meals and have 70 people here. I gave that up because I just got so tired. I'd be cleaning dishes till 3, 4 in the morning. Like, I don't think I'm doing this anymore. Just too much work. But then, I used to just go every year down into town or somewhere to get my traditional Thanksgiving meal. And now it's like, no, can't even do that. So. But, yeah, I think the key to happiness is you've got to be happy no matter what, right? Like, you do your seeds. I like how you're independent. You like yourself enough to just have fun with yourself.
Well, you know, I think that's why being isolated or quarantined for the last – it hasn't bothered me. I know a lot of people are having an issue with this, and I will say this to people. My saving grace has been my hobbies. I have been, I've always wanted time to work on my hobbies and pursue the things I love. And I was able to do that during all of this, and I have been fine. I, am doing things I enjoy. It makes me happy. And being quarantined hasn't bothered me. And I highly recommend to people, if you don't have a hobby, find one, because it will be your saving grace and save your mental health through what's to come, because we're in the worst of this. We're not on the other end of this. So there's going to be more quarantines. There's going to be more quarantines all over the country. I'm not saying there's going to be a national one, but they'll probably handle it on a region-by-region basis. Like California now instituted a stay-at-home order to any locale where the local hospitals have less than 15% capacity in their ICUs. So if they don't have the services to support the sick people, they're going to shut those areas down. Look at the UK. They just came out of quarantine. Within 2 weeks, their infection rates dropped by 30% just by being in quarantine and staying. Is what I know, people don't want to stay at home, and I know they're tired, but it's a very small sacrifice to get this thing in check.
Yeah. Well, we did it. We did it early, and now it's like that. But the genie's been let out of the box, and it's like, we're not putting me back in this box. I don't care who dies. And that's really a selfish attitude, but. Oh, wow. So let me go on to another article. We have all these articles. Let's see. We did Helsinki. COVID. Let's keep going. Oh, incredible new drug might work even better than the coronavirus vaccine. Did you wear that? Did you read that article?
Yes.
Okay. What's the new drug?
I did. Okay. So this drug, unfortunately, I can't pronounce this sucker. It's a new drug technology, right, that can be applied to other types of viral infections, not just to the coronavirus, right? You might be able to use it for the flu, for HIV, for hepatitis. So I'm gonna make an attempt. It is multiple drugs combined to create a new drug, and it's by scientists at Purdue University. And I want to say it's neuraminidase and the inhibitor zanamifar, and with dinotrophenol called DNP. It creates a molecule that targets only the virus and the infected cells and leaves all the healthy cells unaffected. So it's targeted drug therapy. You know, when
so
you bombard your
drug, body, it's not a vaccine, it's a drug.
No. It's a drug,
what is
and
it?
There are existing drugs that are combined that do this. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with this, because then it makes me wonder, you know, there's certain cancers that are created by viruses. Could it be used for that?
Yeah, I was just hearing about a mother and daughter that both are fighting for their lives and they have cancer. So is that possible that they gave it to each other?
Well,
so some cancers are virus?
Yes, they now know that some cancers are created by a virus. A lot of throat cancers are created by a virus. Uterine cancers can be created by HPV, which is a virus, right? So
yeah, humans have the lung virus, yes.
Yeah, so they know there's a relationship between viruses and certain cancers, not all cancers, and they used to didn't think there was at all. So now, you know, how effective could this be, right? If you could use this drug, cancer cells, and it only affects just those, like, it'd be perfect.
It sounds like a cure, and I think the cure's been with us all along, but will they allow this to come out? Because there's some factions of our society do not want a cure for something like cancer, because cancer is big bucks, big business.
Big money.
Big money.
You know, my mom reminded my brother of that, you know, because he's got stomach cancer. And she goes, just remember, because he's taking things, he's taking these combination of natural elements that have a history of curing some cancers. And I said, if you get to the point where this tumor is gone, I said, will you let them take your stomach out? Because they're going to take his stomach out last. And they told him they were going to take the stomach out regardless. And my mom said, you just remember, this is a business first before it's anything else. So
right.
Don't necessarily walk that path to say it has to be cut out. Because look at Suzanne Summers, right? She's lived with breast cancer for 20 years. And she was not going to let them cut it out. And your Well, she did chemotherapy, but she would not do radiation. And she's been using bioidentical hormones and chemicals to help treat the cancer. And if you look at her, she's very, very healthy, and she's had this cancer for 20 years. So your body constantly attacks, the immune system has the ability to attack cancer cells, right? But for some reason, uh-huh. with some people, that ability gets turned off. So the question is why, right? We need to figure out why. Because you and I have had these discussions. I believe everything we need to cure ourselves of any illness grows naturally in our environment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Big Pharma has forced us to lose that knowledge. And, you know, they do a great job poo-pooing that information. The Native Americans have long known, you know, the medicinal properties of these plants. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned about natural-based medicines is that there's so many chemicals within a plant that affects the biochemical activity and interactions. You know, one plant by itself might not do anything, but one plant mixed with another plant might create a biochemical interaction that might be amazing. You know what I mean? But the biochemical
uh-huh.
structures within these plants are so complex. And, you know, for Big Pharma, it's easy just to, you know, they claim they've tested plants for years and never found them to be effective. But you're testing the plants on an individual basis. And if you look at natural medicine, plants are usually combined, right, to create the medicine.
Right,
it's not usually just one plant that you're taking. So obviously there's biochemical interactions. And we've had this knowledge for thousands of years. But as we've moved into contemporary society, we've lost this knowledge. Now, Eastern medicine still maintains a lot of this medicine, this knowledge, and indigenous peoples in all countries retain this knowledge. And this goes back to what I've been saying, is that we need to look at Native American culture again, right? And start engaging
right.
in that culture and taking learnings from the knowledge that they've gained from thousands of years.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, people have been saying for years to take colloidal silver, and I go, what? You know, well, eventually I got some, and I, you know, takes a while. I'm pretty stupid. It takes a while for it to go in. So I kept getting, like, these toothaches and stuff, and I would go to the dentist, and so lately, because of COVID, I don't want to go to the dentist, so I got some spray colloidal silver. And if I have the slightest thing going into my teeth, you know, I'm old. I'm 66 and 67, but I've got a bunch of things that I wish, you know, hadn't been done, like all these fillings that were put in back when I was a kid, basically. They're still there. And I'll just go and I'll spray them, and then there's no pain. Pain goes away. It's, like, amazing. And then I'll go another 6 months, and then I'll start feeling a little bit of ache or pain, and I spray it again. I think it's killing the bacteria or whatever that might be causing an infection. I know my brother just had to have all of his teeth pulled, every single last one, and he's 7
Ooh.
Years older than I am. So. Well, yeah, they wanted to do bypass, what do you call it? Not bypass. They put in a defibrillator, or no, a pacemaker, right? And they looked in his mouth. They said, that's dangerous doing that type of heart surgery. So they had him get all his teeth removed because of the infection that could be in them before they did the open heart surgery. Yeah. So he's taking it all in pain, you know, but to stride. He's going to be, I think he just turned 72, yes. 33, yeah. So, anyway, still alive. Like a couple months ago, we thought he was going to be checking out, but I'm doing everything I can to stay alive. So, anyway, what can we do? Okay, let me go back to our list. You had some things about, well, we wanted to address there's people are going hungry now.
Yeah.
The food banks are. The lines, there was a 2-mile line in Arizona, 4-hour wait in Ohio. Well, guys who are running this planet, you need to get these stimulus checks out to people. No, we're not lazy. No, and we're dealing with COVID and everything that they can. And these people are going to spend it. If you get them money, all these people, in 2,000 a month would be great. I heard Bernie or somebody saying, let's make it 2,000 a month, because for the last 7 months, we should have been doing 1,200 a month. And that would have really kick-started our economy. And, you know, we wouldn't have had to go out and expose ourselves to all this stuff. It would have been a whole different mentality if this had been treated differently. And so, yes, I blame it on Trump and all the Trumpets. He screwed us over. He killed, 260,000. And we're supposed to have another 200. We're going to have a half a million probably in the next couple months. We're gonna meet the 400,000 to 500,000 dead Americans. And that's the ones that we can account for that are like a statistic. But there are other people that we are finding that died before. So we needed to take this seriously. And then there's the secondary death thing. I can't get surgery because I can't get scheduled because the hospital are they're full of COVID. Like my sister needs to get surgery for her water she has in her brain. She had 2 strokes. And they can't put her in for like 2 months. I go, what is going on? Isn't this something that could, you know, kill you or make you have a stroke? Or I know I saw some episodes of these doctor shows that said the water in the brain gives you symptoms like senility, like dementia, right? And I go, this is what? Mm-hmm. What are they doing? So I'm not there. She's in Pennsylvania, but it's like, I don't like this. And so her roommate is trying to get her in earlier because I don't think she has the ability to negotiate it, right? Because she's having water on her brain, literally, affecting her mental ability. So there's a lot of people that are dying from secondary things because they're not getting the health care we need. We needed to have a some kind of health care system in. We've had 4 years of fighting it, trying to take away. I get so pissed off. It's like, what is going on? I call it the evil empire. Every time you hear a story about, we're going to take away food stamps, we're going to take away Social Security, we're going to cut Social Security by, you know, $50 billion. I go, who, what the? People have been paying into Social Security all their lives, and then you get to the end of the road, it's like, we're just going to take it away? What are people supposed to do? I guess we're supposed to just all line up and just give us a shot to kill us because you're going to starve us to death and have us live in the streets. I mean, what kind of world is this? I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Once again, I'm ranting. Oh, okay, so back to this. I didn't read the article. The whole title just pissed me off. 2 mile line in Arizona, 4 hour wait in Ohio. Millions of Americans are seeking help to avoid going hungry this holiday season. What did the article say? I'm just picking it on for the first time. Did you read the article?
You know, there's a lot of people, you know, at the same time this was going on, the government was trying to cut SNAP benefits, and I don't know if people realize that. The SNAP benefits are the food stamps, right? Republicans and Trump were trying to kick over 800,000 people off SNAP in the middle of this pandemic, and the Republicans in Congress didn't try to stop them. And that's why there's millions of people. There's people in food banks now who never thought this would happen. There was another 781,000 people that filed for unemployment this week. So you're looking at almost a million people a week filing for unemployment. And pandemic unemployment benefits run out this month for millions and millions of people. The government does not realize how bad this is. Because they sit in their glass houses, right? No, I don't think they do. Because you ask a congressman, when was the last time he drove near his nearest food bank in his community? And I'll bet you he'll tell you he won't even remember. You know, they get
I think there's a percentage of them that are evil. They're just intentional. Their intentions are made manifest by the results. They're selfish. They're all they care about is their face and their own pockets. It's some kind of depopulation bomb. I think, I think that's an excuse. They don't really know. They know. And they're doing this intentionally.
Well, they may know.
And, you know,
I don't think
karma
they care.
To pay. They don't care.
There's
karma.
It doesn't affect them on a personal level. Just like how a lot of their supporters are dealing with COVID, if it doesn't affect them on a personal level, they don't believe it. And if people aren't lazy of the population that may not want to work and live off the government dole, most people want to go to work. So,
people
you
like
know.
To work. It's just something to do. I always like to work. It's like, oh, I've got to get a job. I don't. Yeah.
You know, and most people live paycheck to paycheck. So you put 50 million
right.
people out of work literally overnight. They didn't have time to plan for this. You know, they didn't have savings. And it isn't just
right.
them. You know, them, their family members, the people they would normally go to, you know, if they were having trouble, they can't go to because they're in the exact same situation. And you've got, and I'm going to say this, I drove across the country. I was shocked at the number of businesses, because I stopped in cities along the way that are permanently closed. And I'm talking businesses that have been there for 20 and 30 years, you know, family businesses that have been in the business for a long time. And you know, the other thing that was shocking was the, you know, how
right.
you see billboards all over on the freeways, right off the road.
Uh-huh.
Most of them are empty. There's no advertisements
right.
on them. And I have never seen that before in all the years I've traveled around this country.
Who's got the money for it? The businesses are closed, so they don't have the money. So let's imagine, I mean, this is a very important thing that you're saying, right? Now, if they get back to some kind of normalcy, we're never going to be the way we were before COVID.
Right.
Never. But let's just say
the way we live is going
the vaccine worked. How many years, if things could be restored, how many years would it take the world to get back to that? I don't think they will.
Well,
so then,
well,
yeah, go ahead.
Think about this. In 2008, right, we had less people unemployed than we do right now, and it took us 10 years to recover.
Right. Because the American people, the average American people have been under attack since, how long?
2007.
Basically.
You've got the younger generation.
Right.
You've got the younger generations. It's just been economic catastrophe after economic catastrophe. You've got a generation of people that will probably never own a home.
Right.
Now you have a generation of people that are going to struggle to become educated.
So it just keeps getting worse. So we are devolving as a society. We're a level zero society on the Kardashev schedule of the evolution of consciousness and society. So they base it on energy. It's like a scale. When we talk about extraterrestrial contact, where are we in the scale? Well, we're not even a level one society. So now we're a level zero society. I think we're going to a level negative one. We're devolving. And, you know, that's when, you know, when things become so horrendous, so corrupt, so perverse, that's when a perturbation comes in. And it reorganizes, and it reorganizes to a higher level. That's the basic goal, I guess. It's a law of physics or something. So hopefully, you know, this is gonna max out, and then it'll reverse like a, you know, pendulum swinging back into higher level consciousness. And I think the only way we can get past this is the extraterrestrial intervention. It's like, come on, ETs. But you know, there's a big debate there. Are they good? Witches are bad witches. Are they good witches or bad witches? I don't know. Okay, back to human level. How the Cherokee Nation has curtailed the pandemic. I know.
They've done a great job. They've done a great job. They did not. They recognized early on that they did not have the resources, because on most tribal nations, they don't have access to, like, clean water, right? Which is one of the main things you have to have to keep this virus at bay. They don't have the medical facilities. You know, they have local clinics, but, you know, they don't have hospitals that can take in multitudes of people. So what they've done is they gathered as much PPE equipment as they could right away, right, and maintain and have made sure that they maintain stock. They've created disinfectant stations. They've built these very effective, cheap disinfection stations, and they put it around the nation so people have access. And when I say nation, I don't like to say reservation, right? I want to show respect to the tribes, and they are nations. So when I say nation, I'm talking about their land. And then they've done extensive contact tracing. The second they have an outbreak, they trace it back. So they're keeping track of their people's movements within the nation, and they've done a better job keeping this virus in check than any city, county, or state in the country.
Well,
with the least amount of
their
resources,
nation, right? They're probably more of one mind and more unified. They care about each other. They're a limited population. If they start dying en masse, then they could extinct themselves. So they really have to be conscious about not allowing a virus to get out of control in their reduced population.
And the tribal nations have gotten hit harder than any other, community group. And they have the least amount of resources.
The virus likes brown and black people. And I think is a clue. It's like,
Navajo Nation has been devastated. They've even had to close the federal roads that have gone through it to stop people from coming onto the tribal lands.
Now, where is the Cherokee Nation? Are they in Oklahoma?
Oklahoma. There's still some tribes in Georgia, but the majority of the Cherokee Nation is in Oklahoma.
Well, I'm glad they are taking care of themselves and being smarter than the average bear. It's pretty disgusting. And look what they did in New Zealand. You know, there's another nation that they... I guess you have to really care about your neighbors as if they were yourself, right? So you have to feel one another.
They don't have the political divisions that we do, right? We've got a nation that's divided. And our beliefs about this virus are divided along political lines.
I know. So what do you do with this? This is a political action. And they don't believe
it. It goes back to what Barry said. Find the common ground and start with that, right?
Well, I'm doing the best I can with my people. Some of it I just can't take anymore, so I limit my conversation. I'm so opinionated, and I'm so disgusted. It's the same thing when I was a kid and I was living in this world where the Vietnam War was raging out of control. And my classmates that were ahead of me were coming back in body bags, and some of them were... I didn't know it was called PTSD, but they were not. They lost their marbles, right? And they were like crazy. And they would be like older friends and neighborhood and classmates, and they'd come back and they'd have these horror stories of how they were, fighting for their lives. You could see the craziness in their eyes, and it's like they needed therapy, and they were just sent back into the community. And I got so disgusted. I became an activist back in the 60s. And so, while everybody was Republican and voting for Nixon and Reagan and stuff, I'm like rebelling and not doing it. And so, finally, in the 90s, I stopped. I think Clinton was And I just said, I'm not voting for anybody. I've got to figure this out. This is not working. What is this political stuff? So I become more vocal and an activist, but I really, you know, I'm not 100% happy with all these positions, these politicians that are out there. I think they can do way better. I guess if you were to ask me where I lie, it's mostly like Bernie, but Bernie and AOC, they think like ETs, you know, like I look at the world like, what would an ET see if they look at the United States, right? And they'd go, what are you guys doing? What's that about? So when you look at it from an ET perspective of how we treat each other, it's just very primitive, barbaric.
They're sitting up there going, WTF.
Right, that's
what
it.
What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, we're going to come down and hide ourselves so you can't see us. No wonder they're not coming out to speak to us en masse. These people are crazy. It's very dangerous here. So, yeah. So, well, let's see what else. We can start winding this down. We've had a nice, I call it a bitch session. Okay.
That's what this show is for you. This is for you to get everything off your chest that's been bothering you all week.
It bothers me. It bothers me. I'm just a bleeding heart liberal. I don't know how I got there. I don't know. I think I'm ET, right? It's like I don't think like the rest of the world. I never did. I'm like you, right?
Yeah.
But they were kinder to me than they were you. At least on the surface, they were kinder to me than they were you. But
yeah.
I know they must have thought. How did we get this kid, you know?
Yeah.
What planet is she from? Yeah.
So I want to finish this with a funny story, which I found hilarious. So you know who George Clooney is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you hear about how he's been cutting his hair for the last 25 years?
No, how does he cut his his hair?
He uses a Flowbee. He's been cutting his own hair for 25 years. A Flowbee, remember that vacuum thing that would vacuum up your hair and then cut your hair from like the 80s?
Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
I kind of remember that, yeah.
Yeah, he's been using the Flowbee to cut his own hair for the last 25 years.
Wow. How can you even get one of those?
He bought it 25 years ago when they were selling him on TV, and he wasn't making a lot of money, and he's been cutting his hair that way ever since.
I'm gonna Google that. A
F L O B E E. I don't think it's F L O W. I could be wrong.
Flowbee. Okay.
Flowbee.
You know, I've got my husband who has this really weird hair. I've been trying to cut it, and the first time I was so proud of myself. I go, that looks good. And then the second time, it's like, well, that's okay. It's like the further removed you get from the haircut from the professional, the worse it gets. And I go, oh, man, I got to do something different. And I got a very nice hair cutting system. Oh, here it is. Flowbee, F-L-O-W-B-E-E. No, it's not coming up with a Flowbee.
I don't think they sell them anymore.
No, there's no Flowbee. They're bringing up other things. They know it's to do with hair cutting. It's interesting. They know it's to do with hair cutting. But they directed me to Target. To these,
I just think it's hilarious that the sexiest man in the world used a Flowbee to cut his hair. I just find that it just tickles me.
Amazing. Well, if I can find one, I'll try that on Sasha's hair. She's got an amazing head of hair for an 80-year-old man. It's like it'll get long and full and you know, like a fro. He's got fro hair. Red, he's pretty strong. Fair skin, but he has a fro. Oh, well. Okay, well, that's cute. I'll have to find that article. I saw George Clooney popping up, but I never, you know, managed to click through and see why he's popping up.
That's why he was popping up. They were talking about him, and he was just admitting it on an interview. He thought it was hilarious.
Oh, that's cute. So I have a bunch of articles. I subscribe to the Daily Cause, and I grab their links and put them on the Elephants in the Room show page. And I'll have the link for this show. It'll take another hour or so to process, and I'll put that out. But there's all kinds of, I wish I would have had time to click through there. Oh, Trump says the governor can't call off the election because it won't be needed. So Trump is still at it. I know my children are criminals. I need to find a way to get them off. So, yeah, he's trying to pardon his criminal children.
His grifter children? They're running the biggest grift ever on their supporters. They have collected $170 million for the legal defense to overturn the election, and they've spent about $4 million of it. And they're going to pocket the rest. So to anybody out there that's sending money to Trump, guess what? He's running his con on you and lying to you.
Yeah, I have a link to that. Let's see, where is that? Trump won't concede because it's so profitable to keep the fund going.
Yes.
Did you read that one? Okay,
that's why he's keeping this up. He doesn't believe he's won the election. It just keeps bringing the money. And people are, they're suckers. His base has become a bunch of suckers. And they believe everything he says. And he's going to walk out of that White House with over $200 million that you gave him to turn over that election that he knows he lost. And he's out of options at this stage of the game to continue to fight it.
But the problem is that he owes so much money. And I'm not sure how people can call in on those notes and what they can do. I heard that he owes $1 billion.
His assets are worth $1 billion. He has $400,000 worth of loans that come due next year. $400 million, not $400,000.
$400 million.
Yeah. And the majority of it, I think like $380 million of it, is through Deutsche Bank, which has been fined by many governments for money laundering, especially the Russians.
Which we know from Active Measures documentary that the Russians, Putin, with Trump, created the world's biggest money laundering industry. So will he be able to continue that? Will he get busted on that?
He'll do. He'll declare he's running for office so he can continue to collect political contributions.
They've set up a PAC.
They've set up a political action committee, which is what people will be donating to do. But what people don't understand is a PAC can spend money any way it wants, which means it can put all that money in Trump's pocket if he wants. So he will continue the grift when he gets out of office and will tell people he's running for re-election. And then when it comes down to 2024, he'll probably change his mind and he'll put all that money in his pocket.
Or maybe he will run again because there's so much money to be made. He can just keep on going until he drops over dead. I don't understand that. It's not what Trump does. It's how are these people so stupid to believe that he's some kind of Jesus?
They don't do their homework. They believe everything they've told and everything they see on the internet, and they won't bother to find out the truth. And that's what he's counting on. He's counting on that you won't try to find out the truth and you'll just believe anything he says. And you know what? If you give him money and you get suckered by it, you get what you deserve, whatever happens.
But they think that is the truth. My brother says,
it's not the truth.
You are listening to fake news. You're listening to any mainstream news. All of that
of
is
course,
a lie.
Of course, that's what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe it's all lies, and he's the only one that tells the truth. And that man has never ever told the truth in his life.
How does that happen that people believe that? That's just, it's not that he says it. It's not that's what he wants to do. It's not that it's like, why is it that all these people are like, it's like they drank some kind of Kool-Aid with some drugs in it, and they go, I see the truth. It's Trump. Everything is Trump.
It's Jim Jones all over again. That's what it
Jim
is.
Jim Jones. So, well, how can
Jim Jones.
These people will die for him.
They're going to kill people for him. They're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
This man is inciting violence in the streets. And someone's going to get hurt before this is over with. Maybe a lot of
people. There's a lot of people that are dead. There's 270,000 of them dead from this
anyone that,
strategy.
There's going to be over a million dead before this is over with, just in our country alone. Watch. That's my prediction.
Well, I hope that somehow this we wake up. You know, we didn't know everything about the Nazis until after the fact, and, you know, 20 years later, and we still don't know the whole truth, but we got a better picture of it when we started this. At least, it, like, the Germans are apologizing for it, and they say never again, and we're not going to allow that to happen again. But will the United States, Americans, ever get to that point like the Germans, that, you know, we have our Hitler right now? Are we ever going to apologize to the world and stop doing the behavior? Is this Has humanity in the toilet now, never going to be, never have any kind of moral fiber where it's okay to kill people. It's not okay to kill. If you don't have the right to go around without a mask, and people die. Your right's going to end when another skin, if you're killing people.
You're watching whites in this country become a minority. And this is the last bastions of white power trying to stay in power. That's what you're observing in this country.
My Republican brother, I think most of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren are brown or black. They're mixed. His children, all his descendants are mixed. I don't have any children. My sister doesn't have any children. And my other friend, all of her grandchildren are mixed. I think one or two are
all my grandchildren are mixed. All my grandchildren are mixed.
They're mixed.
My grandchildren, we are going to have a generation of light brown children that are going to be a true melting pot of all races. And that's what we're seeing. That's why the younger generations are not dealing with the racism that we dealt with in our generation. They're much more accepting than our generations were.
They just don't see it. They're going like, what is the big deal? So what if so-and-so has whatever skin color, whatever hair color, whatever eye color?
Right. They don't care.
See that. They don't care.
They don't, when they look at somebody, they don't see skin color. They don't care.
Right. They don't care. It's just my friend. That's my friend. That's the funny.
Yeah,
they see it.
Absolutely.
This is the person I like, and they're not making those judgments. But, oh, well. Anyway, wide. Okay, we're going to call this a show. I think we're out of time. Well, we still have a little time, but we can call it the end. Anything else you want to cover? Oh, you know, there's so many weird stories. You know, just go over there and click on any one of them.
The
I have about 30 links.
What was
Star
of Bethlehem is in the sky for the first time in 800 years. So it's actually a planet. It's not a star, right? It's one of our planets that's shining brightly.
It's two planets that are coming in alignment, and they're getting when they line up, which is supposed to be, we covered that. What day is that supposed to be? Oh,
yes.
It's supposed to be 12/21/2020. So they're coming into this alignment, and it's going to look like the star of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Some people think that the big meteor is going to hit, and some people think that we're going to ascend. I'm kind of in for anything that happens. Whatever. I don't think there's much more that you do but go along for the ride. Sure, we'll ascend on 12/21/20. That sounds good. Anyway, life is certainly interesting. We have
still
that Chinese earth. May you be born in interesting times. Well, I like these.
We're definitely born in interesting times, that's for sure.
right. Okay, I'm going to go find the end of the show. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Final words, Deborah DeFranco, what would you like to say to our listeners?
Stay home this holiday, please. Keep everybody safe around you and stay home. I know this is wearing on everybody's nerves, but we're not going to get this virus in check until we start staying still and stop moving around.
Let
what happened in New York be a lesson to everyone. We had the worst outbreak ever, and we have the lowest numbers. But we all took this seriously, and we stayed at home for 12 weeks, and it made a difference. Stay home.
Stay home. All right. Well, I'm home for the holidays. So we will see you again next week. I'm sure we'll be back, and you send us around. You can download it. You can send it to your friends. And just remember, love and blessings and aloha. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
Aloha, everybody.